All right, Steve. So I don't know about you, but I am really looking forward to sitting down for Thanksgiving tomorrow, eating a lot of turkey, a lot of stuffing, mashed potatoes.
I think we all are. But sitting around the dinner table on holidays like this with family members, especially those you don't see all that often, can sometimes lead to arguing.
Definitely true. And with impeachment proceedings playing out in Washington and politics as vitriolic as ever, things can get ugly.
So now we turn to someone who can help us figure out how to be civil with family members this holiday season, even the ones you can't stand or disagree with. Clark Olson is a professor in the Hugh Downs School of Human Communication at ASU and the founding director of the Institute for Civil Dialogue. Clark, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. It's a delight to be here.
So is this something that is part of the human condition, that when we disagree, we have to fight about it at holidays? Where's the tension? Where does the tension arise?
Well, we don't have to fight about it, but given that we are more and more polarized, we do tend to have very differing opportunities. And even people who are brought up in the same family with the same values sometimes experience some clashes. And this can result in some unpleasant dinner parties.
Okay, so I want to ask you this question because I feel like as politics has become more and more divisive, there's no even ground to start with. Like, no one agrees on facts anymore. So how do you even begin?
You start to begin with feelings. And you have one person put out what their feelings are, and then the other person you have not demean them, but say, oh, that's interesting, and it really starts with a listening activity, being sure that you're able to comprehend and listen what the other person is saying. And then you say, well, I might disagree with that, and here's why I disagree with that. And maybe you have a personal story that you provide that disagrees with that.
When you mention personal, Clark, it makes me think, I'm asking you too many why questions, but why is it that we actually feel the need to defend these things in the sense that even disagreeing without being disagreeable, why is that so difficult when it comes to something like this? Is it the fact that stress is raised already when it comes to holidays like this?
That's part of it. And part of it is if we just go about making claims, we just say the sky is blue and we don't provide any evidence for that. Or if we say something like this candidate is wrong on this issue. Or if we talk about guns and we say, gun violence needs to be stopped right here in Arizona. If we don't offer any evidence for it, it doesn't go anywhere. So what you really have, if you're going to have any sort of a conversation, is you probably have to have some evidence that backs up that claim, and then you're going to have the clash of two claims. Somebody's going to say, oh, I believe this about guns in Arizona, and somebody else sitting around that very same dinner table may say, oh, I believe this.
So if those facts, though, don't agree, where do you go from there? How do you have kind of a rational discussion about who's right?
Well, it's not necessarily about who's right, because you're probably not going to convince each other that somebody is right.
Right.
It's why do you believe that? So I would ask you, you know, why do you believe this particular position? And then I'd listen carefully, and I would try to listen not with the notion of persuading you, because my chances of persuading you on a hot topic are very slim. What's more likely going to happen is I might learn something from you. And so I learn why you have this inherent belief about guns in Arizona. And then I would hopefully also get the respect from you to listen to me, so that you don't just go off at a diatribe and say, this is the way it is, this is the way it is, and then I have to confront you and say words like, you're wrong. Because words that we use are so key. We should really claim our own thoughts and feelings by using I language and saying, this is what I feel. I hear you feeling this, but this is what I feel. And then if you have roughly equal times, you can probably start progressing the conversation somewhere, knowing that you're never probably going to convince them, and that's really not your goal.
But you're definitely not from the school of, we're not going to talk about politics or religion or all those things. You're not from the avoidance school.
I'm not from the avoidance school. I think the democracy is predicated on people getting together and disagreeing. And we do it every election season. We get there to the ballot box, we vote. Not always does our candidate win, and still we have to articulate our ideas, and we still have to live in this democracy. You remember the last election, how many people said, oh, I'm going to move to Canada. Yeah. I'm going to move to Canada. How many people really moved to Canada?
I want to ask you before we let you go here. So, I mean, you're the founding director of the Institute for Civil Dialogue. This is what you do. And how bad has it gotten? Like, as you watch cable news or you look at the media landscape or you look at the political dialogue in this country right now, do you ever just, you know, shake your head and say, we're never going to get there?
I couldn't do that and believe that democracy will continue. A lot of the people who we teach are students at ASU. And so I've even taught a group of students who are like in 8th, 9th, and 10th grade. They are very responsive to our technique of civil dialogue. And I have to believe it's like throwing a pebble into a pond of water, and that that ripple effect will, change over so that people will grow up believing that they can have civil conversations. People tell us we should take this to Washington all the time, and I say, it's too late for that. It's just too late to go to Washington. Those people are not going to be civil. But if we have the next generation of voters who are looking to civility and have that as a primary criteria for their candidates, civility is much more likely to be incorporated in subsequent elections.
All right. That is Clark Olson, professor in the Hugh Downs School of Human Communication at ASU, founding director of the Institute for Civil Dialogue. Clark, we hope we lived up to the civil dialogue premise.
I think we worked.